everybody. Welcome to the Geek Generation. I'm your host, Rob Logan. And joining me for the intro of this week's episode is Anna.
Hi there.
And Paulo.
Intro Geeks.
Intro Geeks. Yes, we are just the precursor to the full episode coming. I recently was invited to go to the ITV Fest in Dover, Vermont a few weeks ago. And it was a great experience, actually. I wasn't sure what to think of it. I wasn't sure what it would be like. It's basically, well, for one, it's Vermont. So Vermont's just beautiful. And you go up there and there are three like big tents set up, and one of them's for panels and two of them are for screenings. They have a big movie screen inside, a lot of director's chairs to sit in. And people basically just watch all these shorts and web series and all sorts of stuff. There's reps from like CBS and Stars and HBO and like the digital divisions of all those.
Cool.
There's talent looking for work. There's panels going on about people that might be looking for work in the industry. There's people scouting for stuff, looking at all the things that are coming out. Really cool event. Very different from a lot of other cons that I had been to, but they were nice enough to have me up there to do a live Geek Generation podcast. So we did that on like the Friday morning of the festival. We had met a bunch of people, myself and Kevin Harrington, who was on a prior podcast, one of the Rhode Island Comic-Con episodes, and he co-hosted with me for this one. So we had met a bunch of people that had project screening or had been in past project screening the night before and asked them to come on the episode for this one. So we're going to be talking to Ailish Cahill and Catherine DeSicchio. They are both from the web series Preggers, which they described it as basically like it's the backlash against the stereotypes of how you should treat pregnant women and how they're supposed to be. So like everything they're told to do, they do the opposite.
I already like it.
Yeah. It's like very funny. Very funny. And they based it, they said, off of like going to baby showers and seeing all these things and how it's such a magical experience. And basically it's like, what if you hated this process that you were going through? How would you react and throw tantrums and basically rebel against it?
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
I love it.
Very funny web series. We talked to actor David Kirby, who is a part of Mythos, which is he'll explain it better than me probably, but it's about like gods living amongst us. And they've adopted other names and they're living anonymously and they're doing like jobs. But now they've all been summoned back to this kind of meeting of sorts because there's some stuff going down. They've been left alone for a while because things have been kind of status quo. But now they're all being called back and some of them don't want to. And there's gods going against each other. Also really cool premise. And the last one is our guest, Howie Southworth, who is starring in and produces the series called Sauced in Translation.
What?
So basically he was upset with the perception of American food in other countries. So where other countries think we're just like burgers and McDonald's and like all these chain garbage things, he wanted to go over and prepare American cuisine in other countries, but using only the ingredients that they would find locally. So he said, like, if you're going to get a certain thing, you can't just go to the Walmart. There are Walmarts and things like that where you can get the exact same ingredients. He's like, no, I want to use what's common in their country.
What's in season, what's available.
To prepare a dish that is similar to this American cuisine that I would like them to really appreciate, which I thought was a really interesting premise. And I think the first one's going to, like, China to start off with. And he spends a lot of time in China, so it's in there. I'm sure he goes other places as well. I haven't watched it yet. I'm excited to because it sounds like a really interesting show to me.
Yeah, I love that premise.
Yeah, but this episode, we're going to speak with all those people. This is from ITV Fest. We hope to go back next year. It looks like we might be able to, even though I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I am looking forward to if they are willing to have us back. So enjoy the episode.
They might not make sense, but it's a we with me. And we make use of all of our syllables. And we do make sense.
Should I do a real, like, intro?
Yeah, let's do a real intro.
Do a real intro?
Yes.
I'll do it, like, all podcast style?
All podcast style.
Okay.
We're going to have music intro underneath this when it's canned.
I'm going to sound a lot louder, but...
Yeah.
It's a song by Machete Supremacy, which is a Swedish metal band.
Yeah!
It's very melodic and very erotic. Mm. Right? Swedish metal? It's always melodic and always erotic.
A little bit. Okay.
Take it away, intro.
We'll be right back.
everybody, welcome to The Geek Generation. I'm your host, Rob Logan, joined live from ITV Fest with my wonderful co-host, Mr. Kevin Harrington.
Thank you very much. I am here from Geek Comedy Night, the Hadrian Gospel Hour, on behalf of Lay Waste Games' new game, Dragoon. I am the social media dragon.
Wait, so I said one thing, and now you're going down your resume.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You unlocked resume mode with this kid.
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to find the other things that I'm going to be doing while I'm up.
Right.
You know, like a good co-host, I have to plug my... No,
absolutely.
We'll fix that in post.
I shouldn't
come in and immediately... I don't know.
You think I spend time with post on this? Do you think this is a highly polished product? I do. I spend way too much time.
And I did sit-ups and everything for you on account of the woman that we met yesterday.
Oh, yes.
So, I had a great moment yesterday when I got checked in at the box office thingy.
Yes.
One of the women, I gave her my name, and she said, "You are not Kevin Harrington." And I disagree. I've been Kevin Harrington for 30-ish years. Let's say
quite a long time.
Quite a long time. Yeah. I'm an expert in me. And she said, "No, the Kevin Harrington is in you. If you're on a podcast, you can't see my hands, so I won't describe it."
Space work.
Very thin, real thin, and tall, super tall. So he's thin and tall and like magnificent
and
by her
dreamy.
Description.
I think dreamy.
I'm just gonna say she said dreamy. I'm pretty sure she said dreamy. It was clear that this guy was dreamy with a lustful look in her eyes as she described.
He must play for some sort of professional sports team.
Of course. Like Joey Harrington.
Right.
This one's probably
she
even
had a
better.
Twinkle when describing
she
him.
She did. She had a twinkle
eye.
And a lust fill in her eye.
It's true.
As she described this ubermensch Kevin Harrington that I am not. And I'm like, "Well, thanks for calling me fat." And she's like, "No, I'm not calling you fat." I was like, "Oh, you're just overly describing this guy in comparison to me and all of these things that I am not. Ipso facto, therefore, you are calling me fat." And
I don't know how embarrassed she actually was.
No, she wasn't embarrassed at all. She was just like, "No, you're just not good enough." And then she went along with her day. And it was like 5 minutes into coming into the state. And I was just like, 5 minutes in and someone's already calling me fat. And the wonderful thing is, here's the wonderful thing. Our lovely sponsor.
Oh, yes.
Is a delicious, healthy drink. Trimino. Trimino. Trimino protein-infused water.
We're already doing well.
So as I check in, I get my bag and it's protein-infused water to help you curb your appetite and slim down.
This is true.
And I thought this was the woman's work. And I was like,
at the last second, she slipped that into your bag.
Yeah, she slipped this in.
That was
actually good
stuff.
I really like it. I immediately drank three of these bottles. Like, somehow it was like a magic potion. Like, clearly, if I just imbibe this, I'll turn into her fantasy, Kevin Harrington, and save the day. So if during the podcast you hear like a sound of stars and explosion, and I suddenly become 8.5 feet tall, like the Bill Brasky of Kevin Harrington's.
Bill Brasky!
He's thinner than a pin needle, and he's taller than a tree.
Wait, you drank three of those?
Last night. I'm going to go for five today. Let's see how many we got.
Do we need to have a conversation about how protein works?
I'm pretty sure just the more you have, the better you look, right?
That's it.
Like Atkins, if you just eat nothing but meat, you live forever?
100%
correct. 100%
correct.
That's 100%. A health fact.
Awesome. Hey, we should say hi to somebody else in the back.
Who should we say hi to?
We should say hi to our audio tech, Matt.
Hey, Matt, everybody give a big round of applause if you're listening to this on a podcast at home several days from now or weeks. Give an applause. He'll feel it. He'll feel better.
He will.
This is awesome.
Thank you.
Matt, I'm like getting my big break right now.
Matt is a lot of fun, and thank you.
He is.
Thank you so much for putting up with us as we were playing around yesterday and going through.
Matt was telling me that this is the first time anyone's approached him to actually be on the show too. Which,
yeah, this never happens.
Yeah. Why didn't you guys bring him into the show? The magic of Matt. Nobody puts Matt in the corner. I'm your Patrick Swayze today.
You know he's sitting like right in the corner, right?
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. With the exception of that, your job is completely dependent about you being in that corner.
Right.
Metaphorically and emotionally, no one puts you in the corner. Well, I'm your Patrick Swayze. I'm going to hold you up.
Thanks, buddy.
And he's stronger than me, so both of us together, you're super held up.
I'll just dance.
Are you
going to
like come behind me and we can like make a clay pot on the little spinny wheelie thing?
We're going to save that for the after hours podcast because we're getting a little too erotic for 11 a.m.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I like where you're going. should we keep going?
We got this great set. This is like the most like cozy living room set that I've ever seen.
If you're listening to this on the podcast, we are on a luxurious set.
We are.
This is all made out of camel. I mean, it was fair trade camel that wasn't
right,
murdered.
Right.
It was
of course, 100%,
it was delivered by a genie.
Yeah.
This rug actually was Aladdin's rug.
Yes.
This will fly. That's
it's fatter.
It's fatter.
It's fatter now.
Just to make me look slimmer.
It needs more
protein
water. Or
sound slimmer
water.
If you're listening
more
to this on the podcast. I sound slim.
Yes.
We have it weighted down because otherwise it levitates 6 inches off
this. This is true. And these are heavy, heavy end tables.
Yeah, which I carried with my strength.
We
even
have a
though
coffee
I'm fat,
table.
We
a coffee
have,
table on
we have
a podcast
a coffee table
set.
Made out of genuine coffee.
And a couch and a wonderfully comfortable looking chair.
Very descriptive on the podcast.
So we're going to go ahead and use the
those years
the
of
set.
Improv and describing stuff. I'm like, it's a very couchy couch and it's very pretty and it's nice and comfortable. This is super comfortable. They actually gave us hotel rooms, but when we sat down in the chair, I was like, we could have just camped out here and
absolutely.
Done this all night.
I would have done
it. Totally been fine. We would have told ghost stories.
Yeah.
This place is haunted, by the way. It's super haunted.
Yeah.
We told a lot of ghost stories here last night, so that means it's got its own mythos and allure.
We infused it
We infused it.
Yeah, all right, let's sit down.
You're holding your hands like you're about to say a spicy meatball. We infused it with ghost sauce. With ghost sauce?
Ghost sauce?
We infused
that
it with ghost sauce.
So wrong.
Later today, the Taps guys from Ghost Hunters are going to probably come in and talk about our podcast and how haunted our podcast was.
Are you saying we echo through eternity now?
We do. I think we've gone to Valhalla.
That's amazing.
Witness us.
We have a lot of guests yet, too.
We do.
So we
do.
Should probably sit down and get this thing started.
So, yeah, we've kicked it up. We take the energy from a comfortable 5 to a 6.
Yeah.
So it's now peaking at a 6. We're going to go to a 7.
Yep.
And now, without further ado, should we get things started? And
we should get things started. Let's take a seat.
We should take a seat. We're going to take a seat and get comfortable.
Guests. Yeah. Let's
so,
do this. Okay.
We'll do our thing. Ready?
All right. Oh, this chair is so comfortable.
It really is. They do have a camera on us, so if we're going to announce people, we should probably not be visible as we say the names. So.
Okay. Let's get this thing going. Okay. Who are our first guests today? Oh, man. I kind of like this view better.
You do?
Yeah.
Should we just do the whole show like
people
this?
People frighten me.
People do frighten me.
Yeah.
We have crowd anxiety. That's why we do podcasts.
It's true. So we're going to talk to first from the hit, I believe, maybe they'll clarify for us, but I believe it won an award of some sort.
Yes.
Yeah, a web series called Preggers.
Right on.
Please welcome Eilish Cahill and Catherine DeSicchio.
DeSicchio, round of applause.
Welcome, welcome,
welcome.
Welcome. Yes.
Hi. My mic doesn't work. Oh, it
does work.
Oh, hello. My name's Eilish.
Eilish?
Yeah, you screwed that.
Yeah, well, I did it wrong on purpose.
That hurt my feelings.
Yeah, well.
I should have said her
because Kevin Harrington said that he woke up this morning.
I practiced her name all night last night.
Practicing my name.
And saying Eilish because I was introducing her to people last night and I could hear her gently correcting
Oh, don't
me.
Get me wrong.
I
wrote it down correctly.
No, it wasn't. I was like, I was doing the thing.
I don't gently
Have you ever seen the
people.
Sketch with Jimmy Smits on Saturday Night Live from the early 80s? Where people overly pronounce Spanish words to make him feel comfortable because he just has a Spanish name.
I
and
have
people
seen
are like,
it now.
They're trying to embrace it. They're like, oh, I love it. Hey, it's like white people trying to show off their Spanish accent. And they're like, oh, I love food from Mexico. I love huevos rancheros. They like overly pronounce it.
Yeah.
So like in my attempt to say her name correctly, mm-hmm. I was just like, doing it all sorts
being
of wrong.
Being super Irish.
I was being super, I practically did a jig. It was okay because I'm Irish. I can do that.
Well, in your role, I had to be an ignorant American.
Right. And that's how we balance out.
Right.
But
it
anyway,
makes sense for everybody.
We are saying your name correctly now.
You are. It's Eilish. You're right.
It's
and now Catherine's just being neglected. She's
but
just.
We said DeSicchio.
You said it correctly.
Correctly.
Well, yeah, I made sure to get hers right.
Okay. So we get the last name right all the time. Okay.
Yes.
That's fair.
That's important.
Okay.
That might be the first time that ever happened in my life. Like they spelled my name wrong and pronounced it wrong at my graduation from college.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So thank
wait, from
you.
College?
Yeah.
They should be more educated.
You should be able to
should,
get your
right?
money back.
Like I have an excuse. I'm an imbecile.
I mean, honestly, and can we swear this is our podcast? I can swear, right?
You can say whatever
fuck
you want.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck
college. If they can't get your name right after taking hundreds of thousands of fucking dollars from you,
right.
Fuck them. You get to just go in and take any desk or anything you can find in that college. It is yours. It is yours up to, I'm going to say $200,000, $300,000 because I'm putting some sort of name not getting rightedness tax on that.
Is that
another
new word?
Think that's worth a desk?
Right. We won't list their names, but you can tell me afterwards, and I will send them a strongly worded letter. That is bullshit.
Yeah,
if a college...
It felt pretty lazy.
It is!
But wait, if you could go into a college and steal some shit, you would steal a desk.
Yeah, it might have stuff in it. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
I've seen storage wars. You steal a desk. Maybe there's, I don't know, Al Capone's.
Maybe it belongs to one Professor Henry
You're
Jones.
Right,
Henry Jones.
That.
Maybe there's a radioactive spider in the desk.
Yeah.
If
maybe there's
me,
pens
I'm super strong.
And manila
I can carry
folders.
The desk.
Hello.
Right.
Maybe, yeah, you don't know what you're going to find.
Yeah,
see, definitely.
So when you
maybe
go
there's
home
rubber
tonight,
bands.
Steal a desk.
That's
rummage
our
around in
one
it.
Takeaway from today's show.
Steal a
steal
desk.
A desk.
Steal a
learn
desk.
To pronounce people's names correctly. If your college doesn't get it right, you get a free diploma, and they owe you.
But also a takeaway should be, if you're going to steal stuff from a college, you should think about it before you go in. I just feel like we landed on a desk really quickly.
Kevin's reactive.
There might be other
stuff. I'm reactive.
Stuff
you're
you
proactive.
Might,
you're active.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
I have
I
another
feel like the more
main
you know should come up after that.
To add to this, I think that the lady at the box office was thinking of Kit Harington, not Kevin Harington.
True. Kit Harington is my cousin, but he misspells his name because he's stupid.
Yeah. Kit Harington.
He can't afford
so
the two
dumb.
R's.
He does know nothing.
He does know nothing.
He knows nothing.
I know plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
Wait,
right.
I want to hear the rest of your
too.
Resume.
Thank you. You and I, we're going to go beat
no,
that guy up.
We don't have time for the rest of Kevin's resume.
I want to hear the rest of Kevin's resume.
We're here to
resume.
Talk about you two and Preggers, the
yeah,
web series.
Us.
Yeah,
that's so, what we're here to talk about. Tell us about Preggers.
Preggers is a web series.
Okay.
Thanks for being
Thank
our
you.
Guests today. That was fantastic.
Can I drop the mic now?
Yeah. That, yeah. Very Bryan Cranston. Just boom. It's this. It is what it is. Tell us a little bit about where the idea for Preggers came, and tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, the show is about two young women who are pregnant and abhor this kind of flowery culture around that often surrounds pregnancy and pregnant ladies, etc. The idea came from I think our own lives and our own experiences of baby showers and attitudes around expectations of becoming mothers and seeing it around. There was kind of this baby craze that came up in the media.
There was a lot of sweetness. Mm. And we were, like, we got into it, too. It just came, like, it started to feel like this would be really fun to make fun of. And it would be really funny if pregnant women were just total assholes. So we kind of created these characters who are just terrible people and say horrible things.
Are these really characters or?
Mine is.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
So are these kind of maybe heightened versions of feelings of yourselves, or are these people that you, like, were these inspired maybe by people in your own lives, or?
I think stories? Both. Yeah. I think both. I don't know, Ailish, you're the creator. You can speak to that a little more.
Maybe some of the things they say, but most of it is taking stuff that I felt that was very sincere, like, oh, this is so precious, this, and then saying, well, what if I was a total asshole and I hated it, you know? and then also, like, I think my character, I kind of based on a male friend of mine who was just extremely crass and terrible and insulting all the time. And I thought it'd be funny if he was a pregnant woman. Like, I don't know.
Sort of like Junior. Have you ever tried to make... Can they do that?
Yeah.
No.
They can.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They can. I saw a documentary with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can do that.
It's true.
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story. Danny DeVito is his child, right?
Yeah.
That's
the second
part
of
the
documentary.
Wait, Danny DeVito is the child that he has?
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a baby. It's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Did you not see?
You didn't see that?
Junior and Twins, those two documentaries?
They're
I did see Twins.
Junior.
But I didn't realize that Danny DeVito was
the baby. Did you just say
documentaries?
Yeah,
they're
documentaries. Yeah.
They're documentaries.
Yeah.
Any movie made in the
BBC
80s is a documentary.
Right. Like, we based our lives on those.
Right.
Because they're all true.
Because it happened before, so it's in the 80s. That means it's a documentary.
Right.
Anything from 19...
They didn't know about writing fiction until, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
I remember
right.
About that. I remember when that started, fiction.
We're not here to talk about documentaries, though.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your characters, your role.
Okay.
So
Friday. The characters are very immature jerks. And they act the way kind of, I guess, male characters act. They're very obstinate. They're juvenile. They're apathetic And I think maybe some of it was from wanting to play roles like that, because usually women in comedies are the straight men, or are the like the grounding character who brings us all back to reality, or the, you know, the person who, the foil of the person who gets to be a big dick. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe I just wanted to be a big dick, you know? So the web series is mostly just, our characters not doing what they should do. We have a character played by Monica Levitt, who is like a doula, and she's a consultant who comes in to tell us, like, you know, to help us along with it, and we're just awful to her, and everything she recommends that we do to prepare for, like, the loving wonder of having a baby, we don't do, like, we go out of our way to not do, and everything she tells us to avoid doing, we do.
Nice.
So she's always our call to adventure. Like, she comes in, she says, so today I want to talk about fitness. Here's what you should do here. And then we just do the opposite of whatever she says.
So, in essence, the two of your characters are just the living embodiment of a middle finger.
Yes. Yes. That's a wonderful way. Because when you asked us to tell you about the series earlier, I was like, damn, I should have prepared for this. But that's good. We're a big flip off.
Yeah.
To you guys, specifically.
Yeah. I know.
Rob and Kevin.
I can feel the anger.
Yeah.
We're going to bleep that out in post. Right. Oh, no, we're going to make it bigger because we can
bigger.
Swear.
That's
we're going
right.
to make her middle finger like giant.
Giant.
Just like the famed Kevin Harrington that haunts these woods. With your series, who are some of the comedians, actresses, films and shows that are kind of that inspire you? Like it seems like right now we're in a really there haven't been many good comedy roles for women in the past. Like you said, it's typically like women are relegated to more of a straight mm-hmm. man role, like mm-hmm. maybe just male writers.
And guys always get to be the good dicks.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, guys get to be the dick with the redemption story.
Yeah. Mm. Like, yeah. That right. that seems like that's become
well, and
a lot.
The redemption seems to come so easily in stories with male characters in that way. Like they're just like, oh, sorry, and everything's better.
Yeah, everything's better. It's like, oh, like, I picked up my room.
Yeah, like you were terrible. Like that. Yeah. You were terrible.
I'm sorry, I cheated on you. But look, I made a Valentine.
Right. And
it which says, doesn't I choo, work. Choo, choose you.
I choo, well, if you do that, then it works.
Then it
but
works.
But it seems like we're really in a really cool age right now. I'm just thinking of things like Bridesmaids, the new reboot of Ghostbusters that I'm really excited about because I love Paul Feig. I love everybody that's involved with that.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're taking strong female characters and letting them do the quote-unquote guyish roles, but
the human roles.
They're human roles. Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not like putting people in a box.
Yeah.
Like, so who are some of the people that you look to and what are the things that you get fired up about as a writer, as an actress?
Well, when we started conceptualizing this, it was actually a long time ago. I had started watching the Sarah Silverman program on Netflix.
Awesome.
And I fucking love that. Like her character in that show is like the dude-ish role we were talking about. Who,
right.
Like she just, antagonizes everyone.
Right.
For no reason. And I really admire that.
Yeah.
You know, I find that inspiring. I found that show really, really funny. And she's just a child. Like she's a big kid. Everything is just a poop joke, like a penis joke. And that's what I find inspiring, like penises and poops and stuff.
And I do want to clarify, now Preggers is an award-winning web series.
Yes.
I feel like you maybe mentioned that the other day a little bit.
I might have mentioned it to you last night. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's
right.
just one best comedy.
I didn't want to put you on the spot and embarrass you. I know it's very embarrassing.
No, I'm mortified right now.
Yeah.
Don't bring it up again.
Okay.
About
the award.
So it's an award-winning show.
So we also won a grant to make more Preggers.
Right.
That is awesome.
I mean,
no big deal.
Yeah.
Could you, so tell us a little bit about this, you know, you won this grant. Oh, how
yes.
What was that like? What was the process?
Well,
what was the grant?
Dover, Vermont, this town that hosts ITV Fest, they wanted to get involved and to support the content creators in ways. I think PJ heard the same problem from content creators, which is like you run out of money, and a lot of the time, like with Preggers, it's a labor of love. Like you're not getting paid. You're not getting big funds to do it. You're just using resources that you have.
Right.
And so they created this program, I think, for that reason. Because they kept hearing that, where the town of Dover gives, this year they gave four $3,000 grants to people who applied. And the thing is that if you get the grant, you have to shoot for at least 3 full days in Dover. But that's really not a terrible thing because
it's awesome.
They were so wonderful. The town was beyond wonderful to us. They were just so gracious and helpful and welcoming, and it was a delight to be here.
Cool.
Yeah, but not in a way where we felt like there was no grandeur to it. It was just like everyone was like, "Oh yeah, I can help with that," or "Yeah, you can come shoot here. You can." It was kind of like, "Yeah, no big deal. You can do that." And that's kind of the opposite of what happens when you try to do a DIY show in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
You always feel like you're in the way or you're getting something that you should be paying a lot more money. You just feel so indebted to everyone who helps you in a way.
Right.
You know, it's still fun. You're still grateful for everything. But I just felt like all these stresses I expected didn't happen here. Everybody just, you know, helped because they had some time and they didn't mind. It was great. It was really great. Right. So I recommend to everyone that that you apply for the Dover grant.
Now, is that affiliated with ITBF? Is there information?
I don't know. I think yes, but I don't know for
sure. Okay, well, we can put a link up if
we can do that.
Sure. The podcast.
Right in the show notes.
We'll put it in
geekgeneration.com.
Geekgeneration.com and ITBF.com.
We can
put more information about that. So tell us, when are you screening during the festival next?
We have one screening of Prager's on Sunday at 3:40 in the Dover Forge tent number 5.
Great.
We finished, 3 weeks ago, we finished filming this particular a series of episodes of Prager's. So it's like hot off the presses.
So this is very great debut.
Yeah, it's a rough cut of the first 5 episodes. So it's a work in progress.
Cool.
I've seen it. It's very funny.
You didn't laugh.
Have you seen it?
Sure.
You did not laugh, Rob.
Yeah, we were watching.
I told Catherine this morning. I was like, I was really concerned because he was watching it in the bar and he didn't laugh. But I did pee while you were watching. Like, I left for a minute.
Right.
Maybe you left then.
That's
so you stole a view of their thing when they weren't looking.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Typical man. Am I right, sisters?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was very funny.
Okay, well then that's redemptive.
I actually.
Oh my God, it is so easy for guys to do the redemptive thing.
Right? See, we just proved it.
Yeah, you guys are like the typical dicks. No offense.
Right.
In movie.
I watched more this morning. Atypical. Does that count? I actually went out and watched some of the earlier episodes this morning.
Oh, you did? Really?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I did. With the baskets, and I watched the first one. It was very, very funny.
He steals from the ladies, and then he goes and watches the episodes, and everything's all forgiven.
No, I'm in their good graces. I mean, look at this face.
Yeah, you're right. You're
It's a nice face.
He works out so he can get away with a lot.
Wait, should I describe his face like the way you do to a blind
person? Let's not do that.
No, this
at all.
French looking. No.
That sounds bad.
We could spend all day on that dreamy
shot. Hey, we have other guests we need to talk to, too.
We do.
As much fun as we're having with you, we have to welcome some other people up as well.
Before you guys go, could you maybe plug where people can get more information about Prager's and projects?
We have a Facebook page, Prager's the Series. Mm-hmm. So they can go there for some updates. Right?
We have a YouTube channel. Prager's the Series.
I think the easiest way, because if you go to YouTube and put in Prager's, you get a lot of like homespun things about real chicks who are pregnant. And I wonder how often people are like, "Oh, Aunt Darla, go to my Prager's thing and finds us." But if you put in "stab a kid, go to Costco," you'll find ours for sure.
Stab a
kid, go to Costco.
It's probably embarrassing how often that comes up in my search history.
Yeah.
Because that's the title of the first episode.
Oh.
And that doesn't usually get mixed up with like pregnant women.
I gotcha.
For real.
I was going to say that is a really, really specific tag to have for a website.
Yeah. It is.
That's the episode title.
It is.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Great.
I wanted it to be confusing and mysterious for a second before I explained.
Cool.
To reel you in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you won me over. Him too.
Yeah.
Both of you did. Good job.
Not to be rude, but we're going to spin around.
Yeah. Are we going to spin around?
We're going to spin around.
Well, let's give a round of applause.
Yeah, round of applause. Round of applause.
One more time.
Thank you.
And we'll spin around to introduce.
We're going to welcome our next guest.
Our next guest.
From the award winning
Mythos.
Please welcome David Kirby. Welcome, David.
Sir.
Join us on the couch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
when there was a fly there, in case people think I'm
swatting at the sky. Flies everywhere. How you doing, David?
I am well, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm good.
We are great.
Now, see, I met you yesterday after Kevin told me very excitedly about Mythos, and I thought it sounded like the coolest thing. Could you give us kind of a brief synopsis?
Yes.
Could you explain deities and mythology to us in 3 minutes in this concept of religion?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
But I can talk about the web series.
Good.
Mythos is we won Best Acting 2 years ago at ITV Fest. That was the first time I came up here, and it's a 9-episode arc that season, taking place today. The gods are still around, but living anonymously amongst everyone. Miriam Pultro, the creator, writer, director, star, genius behind it, has made all of the god characters, they're the archetypes. So no matter what culture and their version of the god, it's all one person. So in my case, I was playing Luke, who today was a fashion designer in Paris. But is better known as Apollo, or more famously known as Apollo. Miriam is Athena, but also Morrigan from the Celtic mythology. So what's happening, the gist of the story is that Mercury is out looking for everyone to bring them together to a council. Zeus is looking for everyone, and everyone's been living so anonymously for millennia, they're hard to find. And this council comes together, and there's a rebellion. It's just sort of the whole arc of the first series. And then we came back again last year with Mythos, Sea, and Sky, which is about a 30-minute, two-part bridge to the second season, which is yet to be.
Oh.
Can you tell us a little bit of, like, previews of stuff that might be coming up?
Or? No.
Oh, wow. It is wrapped in red tape. Nice.
No, Miriam has kept that pretty close. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has the whole thing, I think, mapped in her head, but, I think most of season two is written.
Gotcha. It's cool. The thing that I really liked about Mythos, as you were addressing that, Miriam is playing Morgan, Athena, where you have kind of an amalgam of these different pantheons, where maybe some of the gods and goddesses might have, like, dual identities because, different religions kind of worship the same archetype, like a god of wisdom or a god of war, a goddess of
One of my favorite moments in the whole series is when Mercury finds Chen's character, and he says, "What are you going by?" And he says, "I am Shiva." He says, "Still?"
Nice. So also maybe touching, I think, an element that I found was really interesting the first time I saw Mythos, the crisis that is befalling the gods. Like, why are they having this council? Or was it, like, they're dealing with, you know, people don't believe in the gods necessarily or maybe worship them the same way, and they're losing power? Are they becoming mortal? Is, you know, maybe... I don't want to spoil anything.
No. And if you talk to Miriam, it's like the gods actually are mortal. They just live a very, very long time. But it comes out also in this arc in the first season that there's an expectation, there's a cycle when the next crisis is to happen, and they will have to come out and make themselves known to save the universe again.
Interesting.
And this calling from Anu, the Allfather, Zeus, is before that time, which is what engenders the rebellion amongst the council.
So this is the thing that's happened before. These are like the Titan Maki. These are like the rifts, the clash of the Titans that have been in mythology, but now we're coming to an era that...
And suddenly you have this family that haven't seen each other in a long time, and they're all in the same room, and it's like your own family reunion where suddenly all these slights and insults and offenses and just clashing personalities come together.
Maybe you've explored this in the series, but I'm curious for what reason the gods kind of leave Olympus and or whatever, since you're kind of covering a different amount of things, like why start to live anonymously amongst the population?
As the Earth population becomes more civilized and...
Bless you.
And progresses, there's less need
Okay.
For Reliance on the Gods. So it's kind of like this seesaw or maybe a pendulum swinging back and forth.
Okay.
So as the pendulum has reached this point, it's swinging back to when they're going to be needed again. Suddenly they're called to this council before their time.
Excellent.
One thing, bless you again, I think that I've noticed was interesting. We're talking about working on an independent project like Ailish and Catherine brought up. The idea of kind of pitching in and calling on resources of your friends. And the thing that I found was really interesting with the Mythos cast is that you are a core group of actors that have done a lot of stage work together primarily. And I was talking to Miriam about this the other day that I don't think she had picked up a video camera before doing Mythos, but kind of, you know, so, and it's interesting to see the show very much a focus on acting and kind of scene work where it feels very much like the intimacy of a play. And I find it interesting with these independent productions that you find a way to play to your strengths, both of you guys. Like, you're working with, you know, we got this great opportunity. You're like, oh, it's limiting. We have to be up in Dover for 3 days. Oh, no. And, you know, what is that like, you know, with, you know, this can be for all of you guys working on an independent project or the things that might be seen as limiting. Were they beneficial? Because sometimes, like, if you have a small budget for a film, people can be like, oh, I can't do this. But it actually forces you to be more creative and can open up.
And limitations often result in more charm. More project when you're finding those workarounds and creative solutions.
Right. No, absolutely. So do you have any thoughts, any of you guys, that for that process that you would like to bring
up?
Well,
before I answer that, I thought it was really funny that we got up here. And you can tell Mythos is a drama. Whereas Preggers is a comedy.
Preggers is the opposite of Mythos.
It's like the tone suddenly became
Mythos
very serious.
Mythos sounds super smart. And
but I smell crossover.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, a mythological pregnancy. It's happened yes. many times with Zeus. He's kind of.
This is true.
That's his calling card.
This is true. Preggers and parthenogenesis. I'm curious.
No, I want you to be my baby daddy.
Oh,
I'm not talking about the web series, Dave. I want it to be like you find out Lizzie's baby is Zeus.
Nice.
Nice.
That'd be a twist.
But to get back to your question, yeah. I actually like the limitations.
Yeah.
Because I think it forces you to really think out of the box and stretch yourself. I mean, as cliche as think out of the box is, it forces you. We are all storytellers. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find the best way to tell our particular story. Mm-hmm. And when you have those kind of limitations, sometimes that's where your flashes of genius or insight will surprise you. That's part of the joy of the creative process.
Right.
Yeah, I wrote the new stuff. When we got the grant, I wrote the new stuff for Dover. Mm-hmm. Like, I made Dover like a character in it. And that might have just been because it specifically said in boldface on the grant application, you do not have to include Dover in the story. Dover doesn't have to be part of the story. And I was like, I'm going to make Dover part of the story.
So Dover was your doula.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Dover is your doula. I like that.
Dover was my forceps.
Yikes.
And then when we got here, we just... There are all these funny things that we could use, like the enormous chairs. You know, the art installation here? Those enormous, like, wooden deck chairs.
I know.
They're so funny. And like, what other funny things? There are just places where, you know,
did you use
we had them pull over. We didn't use the mover. I should have thought of that. But, you know, there were scenes that were supposed to take place in a moving car, and we instead shot them, like, in the parking lot that's extremely beautiful, as if, like, the idiots from New York had, you know, blown a tire and didn't really know how to fix it. So the scene's just taking place with that going on in the background.
Great.
But the having to work in Dover, I don't know if that's a limitation. Well, I guess it is. And it worked so well. It inspired me so much because then just this story came of like, okay, the idiots are going to go to Vermont for a weekend to get away from their baby shower and their families who came. People are throwing them a baby shower and they don't want to be there. So they leave and go to Vermont for the weekend. And Patty the doula is creating a whatchamacallit for pregnant women, a retreat center. So she has a hotel here that she's developing into a retreat. So all these ideas came from that. Like exactly what you were saying.
Nice.
Follow-up series, Preggers Road Trip.
I love it.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you guys very much. We got to bring up our next guest.
We do. But before we do, real quick, Mythos.
Oh, yes.
If more information
more
on Mythos,
information,
where can we
Mythos,
go?
Mythos, where can we go to get that?
I think it's mythostheseries.com.
Mythostheseries.com. We will put that in
we
the
We will put that in the show notes as well.
Of the podcast as well.
Excellent. We have one more guest to welcome up to the stage.
Yes. Give a
we
round
do.
Of applause for David Kirby, Mythos, Eilish, and Catherine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We got to do this right. Please welcome from Sauced in Translation, Howie Southworth. Everybody's leaving. You guys can stay on the couch if you want to stay. Nobody has to leave. We thought we were going to have to kick you off the couch kicking and screaming, but, you know, let's all be cozy on the couch. If Kevin and I can be cozy, you guys can be cozy, too. There we go.
And, we can drape Jeff across them when we bring Jeff up to
That's right. That's right.
Thank you. We're cozy.
So, Howie, tell us a little bit about Sauced in Translation. Kevin explained it a little bit to me yesterday.
Yeah,
it makes me hungry.
Being someone that enjoys cooking myself, I really am interested in this.
So the ethic behind it is that the only thing that America shared so far as food with the rest of the world is fried chicken, cheeseburgers, and French fries. And so the solution to that is, I'll show people around the world what real American food to me looks, smells, tastes like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. We chose China. So Greg, I'll mention Greg, who's my creative partner and the guy holding the camera in most of the episodes. He and I have been traveling to China for 20 years. And at some point, we just turned the camera on. You could say that we've been doing research for 20 years so that we know what to expect mostly. You talked about limitations. Our limitations are our knowledge, and we're always surprised. And so every episode offers something that we never thought would happen, hence the reality part of everything.
Yeah.
So Sauce and Translation. In this season, I go all around China, and I cook real down-home American food using only what I can find locally.
Awesome.
Love it.
Without, by the way, going to a Walmart, which exists.
Right.
Or a supermarket where I could literally get lasagna noodles if I wanted to get lasagna noodles. But I don't want to get lasagna noodles.
Right.
I want to go to the local green market.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I'm just thinking about having seen the show and talked with you. And just maybe for the people that haven't seen Sauced in Translation, why don't you talk a little bit about your connection, since you've had a pretty strong connection to China. You've been there, going back and forth there for 20 years?
Yeah.
What was the initial thing that brought you over to China?
I was done with graduate school, and I did not want to find a real job, which is, I think, everybody in graduate school's initial goal.
Right.
And I literally bought a one-way ticket to China with a tourist visa, and then luckily, or unluckily, depending on your perspective, ran into a bunch of people that were going to go teach in the very extreme northeast of China near North Korea. And I said, wow. Yeah, why not? And then I was probably illegal there for a while. I can't remember exactly
how
long.
We won't mention that on the podcast in case China's listening.
That part out. And I eventually got a working green card to work there, and I stayed, and I came back 2 years later simply to relieve my mom of having to pay the minimum on my credit card.
So, what were you studying in grad school? Were you?
I still work full time in higher ed.
Right.
Administration mostly. I am a faculty's faculty, if you will. I teach teachers how to teach.
Oh, very cool.
And so I went and I was in higher education administration in graduate school, rather blah, boring. And then I went and taught English in China because that was the thing I could do and make money and stay there.
And very
cool. So it all kind of tied in.
I'm curious, with your show versus the other ones, you all are working on scripted projects except for Howie, and you have the reaction of people to work into your show. How do you use that? Do you try to frame that in a certain way, or do you let the reactions frame the episode for you?
We are always floored by the reactions that we get. We almost expected, like I said, we've been doing R&D for 2 decades, but we're always surprised by something. We never know what we're going to run into, what stumbling blocks we're going to run into, and you can't script that stuff. Right. Truth be told, we have an outline of what we would like to accomplish, but we're thwarted 90% of the time. And so where we actually intend on going along a trajectory that is an outline,
I feel like that's the same with scripted.
Yeah.
Filmmaking.
Yeah. We have to riff. We have to improv a lot. None of us ever got pregnant during it. I don't believe we've met any gods.
They just eat like they're pregnant.
But you don't know that you didn't impregnate someone else, right?
I really find it difficult to believe that that happened, but it's all unscripted. So, you know.
Can I ask Howie a question?
Yes, you may.
Okay. I just want to know about the things that you've cooked. Like, what are examples?
Well, part of the charm of the show, Ellis, is that you have to watch to the end to see what I end up cooking. Okay. And so if I told you all, you wouldn't have an incentive to go watch the show now, would you? I will say.
Well, maybe you could tell me the ingredients, the materials that you started.
I will tell you that the show that's screening here, I end up making... Well, I'm not going to say it. Am I really going to say it?
That was a tricky way of asking the same question.
I will say there is one very entertaining episode that I have yet to produce or yet to edit, and that in that we ended up making BLTs. Okay. The difficulty in that episode, which I'm very excited to put together because I don't know exactly how to do it because it was so shockingly difficult to do, in the way we think of bacon, that's just not done in China. They smoke meat, they cure meat. They usually don't smoke and cure meat. So you don't have bacon. So I had to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have 4 weeks to let it cure. And so we had to resort to some creative solutions. So, most of the time we find a Chinese version of a vegetable. Like Chinese celery is pervasive across China. It tastes a lot like super celery. Okay. Like the celery that we eat. Mm-hmm. This entire stalk tastes a lot like the little leaves that you pull off of our celery. And you go, wow, that tastes strong. That's the whole stock there. And so oftentimes we have the challenge of trying to dumb down our recipes or smarten up our recipes to match what we end up finding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's real cool.
So I think kind of thinking on the fly, being creative is a universal theme in a lot of these independent projects, whether they're scripted or whether they're improvised. I'm just thinking of the episode that we screened together. Was it red gravy that you were making?
I'm about to divulge another end of an episode.
Sorry. But
we're going to give away this whole series.
I thought this was an interesting story.
Yes, actually, I'll spoil this one. And so we ended up making red eye gravy, which if you don't know what red eye gravy is, it's a southern recipe that uses coffee and drippings from ham to make a sauce, a gravy. And so this was beyond mind-blowing
right.
to the chef. I actually was invited to a chef's kitchen to do this because he was like, you're going to use what?
Yeah.
And it was shocking. Yeah. And they didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know what to make of it.
Right.
I love red eye gravy.
Yeah. I grew up in the South. I hadn't had red eye gravy until maybe about a month ago. I was at a diner, and I thought of the episode we were talking about. I was like, this is amazing.
And like what we were just referring to, the different tastes, and this is kind of gross to people who don't either eat meat or don't think about meat or don't cook, but the fat on a pig in China tastes remarkably different. And so the red eye gravy that I ended up making didn't taste like any red eye gravy that I knew.
Interesting.
But it was awesome.
And what else? I was just remembering the coffee factor, getting coffee in China. They don't drink coffee like we do. Like, it's mostly tea, right? So, like,
right.
Finding coffee. I remember you went to, I'll just go to this coffee shop. And weren't they, like, open in the afternoon?
They were open. The coffee shop opened at, like, 4:30 in the afternoon.
Right. Like, where's a coffee shop that opens at 4:30 in the afternoon?
Well, in China.
In China.
Yes.
Maybe because that's, what, 6 a.m. in Seattle?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. So the challenge of, I said I wouldn't go to a Walmart. The same goes for I wouldn't go to a Starbucks. And in the city where we were filming, there was actually no Starbucks. But there were little coffee shops.
Right.
But we wanted to not go to these things that obviously would have some make up coffee.
Right.
And so we would go to a little shop and they sell little things of Nescafe and little things of powdered coffee. But that wasn't going to suit my needs. And so I refused to do it. I could have bent and said, okay, I'll make powdered coffee and I'll make it for powdered coffee. But I'm like, no, I'm getting brewed coffee.
Yeah.
And then you have to go watch episode 3 of Sauce and Translation to find out what the solution was. And I'm not going to spoil that.
If people want to do that, where can they go to find
more information about Sauce and Translation?
I have some cards that I will happily give out.
Okay. And for the people that are listening on the podcast, where can they find out more?
They can go to sauceandtranslation.com.
Great, and we'll put that
self-explanatory.
Thank you so
I like
much.
It.
So
like
let's give a big round of applause for our guests. I'm getting the sign.
We are getting the sign.
We are pushing.
And thank you for being my
time.
Couch fetish.
So, guys, thank you guys
you were
so
all
much.
Off to something
thank
very
you so much.
And please go and support ITVF. Go check out the panels. Check out the shows. I'm going to be coming up later with Jeff with Super Geeked Up. We're going to be going on at 1 o'clock. Check on
1 o'clock.
The time on that.
To listen to this and more episodes of The Geek Generation, head on over to thegeekgeneration.com. We're also free on iTunes. There's 5 years of back catalog that you can check out there as well.
And please come by and check out the Hadron Gospel Hour tomorrow at 6 o'clock or find us online at hadrongospelhour.com. And thank you guys so much. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you, everybody, for being here.
All right. Let's exit properly.
We'll exit properly.
Bye.
Make it so.